4 years after the 1850 premiere of Richard Wagner's Lohengrin, he once again found himself in need of money. That wasn't unusual, though. Wagner was often just a step ahead of his creditors. One time, he was so heavily in debt that his passport was taken away. So he, his wife, and their dog, Robber, had to escape the city of Riga at night past Cossack guards and through a ditch at the border. This time, though, he wrote a desperate letter to his future father-in-law, Franz Liszt, saying, "I would even go to America to satisfy my creditors." It seems the idea of America as a land of plenty and ready money was never very far from Wagner's mind. So much so that at one point he offered to put his property in Bayreuth up for sale and move himself and his family to the United States. This idea came about as a result of a friendship that had developed between the Wagner family and an American dentist named Newell Jenkins, who practiced for a while in Dresden. In February 1880, after Dr. Jenkins had returned to this country, Wagner wrote him a poignant letter. He asked if an association could be formed that would pay Wagner $1 million if he permanently settled in the United States. He also wanted the association to sponsor annual festival performances of his operas that he would stage himself, beginning with Parsifal. Jenkins sounded out a few people in the music world, and the consensus was that the idea was impractical. In the meantime, though, Wagner's financial picture improved. And he spoke of making an American tour, but even that never happened. As a footnote, the first Wagner to settle in America was the composer's granddaughter, Friedland. She lived in New York during World War II and worked as a waitress at Schraft's. After the war, though, she made her debut as a stage director with a production of Lohengrin in Germany. One of the most striking things about any Robert Wilson production is his distinctive use of lighting and movement. Today's Lohengrin is no exception. Wilson creates what he calls a visual book to help the audience hear better. He uses a variety of horizontal and vertical bars of light to define space and focus the listener's attention. The singer's movements are slow and fluid, and they often strike poses and hold them virtually without moving. Wilson describes these as quote-unquote formal movements, taken from his fascination with dance. The prelude to Lohengrin begins with a serene passage high in the strings. As it draws to a close, darkly dressed figures come on stage. When it ends, King Henry asks the people of Brabant to help defend Germany against an invasion by Hungary, but Count Telramund asks Henry to settle a local matter first. Telramund accuses Elsa of Brabant of murdering her young brother, Gottfried, who was the heir to the dukedom, and Telramund claims the throne for himself. Elsa says she's innocent, but no one will be her champion in combat with Telramund. In Elsa's dream, she tells of her vision of a knight sent by God to save her. So the herald calls for the knight twice. There's no response. But as Elsa prays, a swan boat approaches, carrying a knight, who presents himself to the king as Elsa's champion and her husband-to-be. But there's one condition. She must never ask his name or where he came from. Elsa agrees, and they pledge themselves to each other. Then the knight defeats Telramund, but spares his life. The crowd praises the mysterious knight, and Telramund falls at the feet of his wife, Ortrud, in humiliation. The cast, in order of vocal appearance, the herald is Eike Wilhelm Schulte, King Henry René Pape, and Telramund Richard Paul Finck. Elsa and Lohengrin are Carita Mattila and Ben Heppner. Ortrud is Luana Duvall in her Met broadcast debut. The concertmaster is David Chan, and the conductor, Philippe Auguin, who's made his entrance from behind the timpanis, and he's heading toward the podium. Live from the Met, this is Wagner's Lohengrin.